So yesterday, the Rambam began to introduce the topic of Nevuah, trying to figure out why it's important and why it's so central in Yadus. We have not had Nevi'im in 2,500 years since the days of Malachi, at the beginning of the Bayesheni period. The Rambam tells us it's very central to understand. And he told us we're going to start by what seems at first like a couple of details. How you certify who's a Navi, and even before that, what are the different types of presentations that a Navi might make? And the first thing he had told us, which Adir had called yesterday morning, is you don't need to do great miracles, or any miracles, in order to be certified as a Navi. And as he tells us, you know, Eliyahu did the Tchiyas HaMeisim, Elisha performed so many Mofsim, but that's not necessary in order to become recognized as a Navi. Kamasha also Eliyahu Elisha Vizulasim and Naviyim and Mofsim. When Elisha, Eliyahu, and other Naviyim performed Nisim, Lo Asu Zelakim Nevuasim. That wasn't to prove anything to anyone. That wasn't to demonstrate that they were Naviyim. All about Nevuah Parnas Amisalem, the Kodimahim. They already halachically certified as Naviyim long before that. Also Mofsim, they should start for that. It is true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes perform Nisim, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will perform Nisim via Nevi'im. That's because of a need that was being served. Because as Nevi'im, they were people who had exceptional closeness to Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to satisfy whatever their needs were in a miraculous way. They needed to bring someone back to life. They needed the tools to, literally, the tools that had fallen into the water in order to complete the sacred construction project. But you want to know how you certify someone as a Navi? Which the flip side of that is, how do you know who's not a Navi? How do you know who's real? And how do you know who's a charlatan? Omer Tchila Sheikari Torah Seinu Benavim Kasher Asabrev. This discussion begins as follows. Toanei HaNevuah, before you even get to how you certify, let's talk about what sorts of Nevuah claimers there might be. Nechalku Rishon L'Shnei Chalakim. We could divide all the people who might show up and say, I'm a Navi, we could divide them into two groups. Misnabe B'Shem Avodah Zarah or Misnabe B'Hashem. Some people will come and speak in the name of idolatry, the name of another religion, the name of an idol, and others will speak in the name of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And he goes on to tell us right away, there's two groups, there's Shtayim Shein Arba. These two groups break down into each one into two subgroups, a total of four categories. Here we go. Hanavu b'shem avodah zarah techalek l'shnei chalakim. We talk about, on the one hand, Nevu b'shem avodah zarah, which right away doesn't sound like something we're going to be excited about, to put it mildly. There are two flavors of Nevu b'shem avodah zarah. Achel Karish Rishon. 1A, the first type of Nevuah, B'Shem Avodah Zarah. Sheyakum Navi V'yomer Kocho Kloni Nasan Ale Rucho. Mercury spoke to me. I had the spirit of Mars. The spirit of Alpha Centauri. Not quite as popular. V'yomer, or the sun. Avdeini B'kach V'kach. Koreini B'kach V'kach. Someone comes and says, and Yashka came to him and said, here's how you have to worship me. Here's how you have to pray to me. Oh, V'chem Yikrel Tzelem. I think it might be a star. It might be some statue. Oh, see that word? It's a cognate, the next word for the test, cognate to an English word. You might recognize it. Anyone recognize it? A talisma. In English, you talk about a talisman. Talisma and a talismos. Some sort of superstitious item. The Yomer Zeni Ba'ani Bekach, Bekach, Hodiani Bekach, because the fellow said that some other occult power, some idolatrous power is speaking to him. But Sivani, he told me something, gave me some sort of a prophetic prediction. Oh, Sivani, Shatzabeb Avodaso. Or he claimed that the Avodazar told me to tell you that here's how you have to worship him. Kamo Shayosin, Viyabal Viyashirim. That's what you learn, say it from Malachi, you hear plenty. But the Nevi'e Habal, oh, we're going around telling people, here's how you have to worship Baal, here's how you have to worship Asherah. So that's Navi B'Shem Avodah Zarah type 1. That is literally a Navi B'Shem Avodah Zarah. A fellow shows up and claims to be speaking in the name of some other deity. That definitely sounds like a Navi B'Shem Avodah Zarah. What other type of Navi B'Shem Avodah Zarah could there be? So here's what's interesting. Chelek Hasheni, Shiyom Ba'asin Ibumi Hashem. You could also be another Mishnah Morazari if you claim to speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the message that you're claiming that God told you to tell us is Sheyei Aved Nevad Ploni, or Sheturad Ruach Plonis, Baal from Ploni, a Jews for J type of message. Hashem said that you should worship X. Hashem said they want you to worship Baal. Hashem said they want you to worship Christianity. Hashem said he wants you to worship X, Y, and Z. And you claim, the Navi claims that Kadosh Baruch Hu told him that we should be worshiping Avodah Zarah in the following way. The Torah made it very clear, we are utterly opposed to him. You're speaking the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu, supposedly, but that falls on, that's the second type of Navi B'Shem Avodah Zarah. The Hashem Kolel. Because that category, Navi B'Shem Avodah Zarah, includes both Ha'over Shihi Atzmat Simsav Avodah Zarah, whether you claim that the Avodah Zarah itself gave you instructions about serving it, or as well as Ha'over Shehashem Tziv Avodah Zarah Nivram. That God, if you claim that God told you, God commanded that we worship one of the creatures, rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or in addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So the two flavors of Navi B'Shem Avodah Zarah, whether you speak in the name of the Avodah Zarah, or you speak in the name of Hashem, but your content is Avodah Zarah. In Nishman HaTohen, Achaz Mishtei HaTainas Eila, if we hear from a Tohen, someone who claims, who has a Taina, he claims to be a Navi, we hear one of these two Tainas, one of these two claims, this is Kayem HaIdus Alav Kedin HaTorah, and we have valid, halachically valid testimony that this fellow, you know, conveyed such a claim of Nevuah HaRei Dinu SheYumas B'Chenek, that's a capital crime. That's what we call a Navi Sheker. La Amr Yisalef, Sukkim in, I believe, Parshas Re'eh. Re'eh is where you have much of the halachas of Avodah Zarah and various Avodah Zarah related topics. A Navi Ahu, O Kalim Achalom Ahu, Yumas. That is a Navi Sheker. Lo Nishael Tana Sovlov Akshmen Os. We're not going to pay attention to the rest of the content of what he says, nor will we be interested in him providing miraculous proof that he's for real. And even if he does decide on his own to proactively offer some miraculous proof, I feel Yasim Oksin, Ashelo Shaman Neflamehin, the kind of those I tell him. The fellow says that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to worship Jesus. Or he comes and says that Mars spoke to him. Or he's a Christian scientist, or more what have you. And he claims to, and he does extraordinary miracles. Here we are from yesterday, the Connecticut Yankee King Arthur's Court. The Mosim are not necessary, and they also are insufficient. It doesn't matter. Lo Nishe'eh, he's still Chai Misa. Lo Nishe'eh, also have Mosim. We're not going to pay attention. If he should see us, Kim Mosim, Masham Rakas. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch already, through Moshe Rabbeinu, addressed this very point. Kim Nasei Hashem L'Kechem Asem. The Torah says, you may be very taken by the miracles of his pulling. That's, they're impressive and irrelevant. So that's a new sign for the Rebbe Shalom. Yet is Haseichel Hamachzir Tana, so Chazakim Eidus Ha'ayin HaRoah Mosam. Epistemologically, I have different sources of knowledge. But yes, the Nisim he's doing are very impressive, and we have sensory data. I'm seeing, I'm hearing, I'm smelling, whatever it is. I'm sensing, I'm taking in the sight that this Navi is presenting, but I'm going to put my logical thought ahead of that. I'm logically convinced on multiple levels that we worship one God only. There's one perfect creator who created everything else. So you can make whatever claims you want, I'm not willing to accept it. And there's more than just the abstract proof, the abstract logical proof of the existence of monotheism, of the existence of one God, to the exclusion of all others. It's also the fact that the fact that we find any nevuah compelling is based on the, or as he goes on to say later, the overwhelmingly compelling evidence, multiple layers of indication, to believe nevuah's Moshe. And built into nevuah's Moshe is that Kadosh Baruch Hu statement to us that he does not plan to ever tell us to worship Avodah Zarah. So in a conflict between Nebuah's Moshe and Nebuah's Samad Navi, we're going to give primacy to Nebuah's Moshe. Yoni, a question. Right. A fellow shows up, he's doing extraordinary nisim, and he says, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu told me that now it's time to also worship another religion. Now it's time to also burn incense to Santeria. Now it's time to also be a Taoist. Right, so that's what he points to here, that the Chumash already expressly addresses this. You can take a look. That's Perek Yudgimel Pasuk Daled in Chumash Dvarim. The Torah addresses this. A fellow may show up and he may do extraordinary nisim. The Torah says, okay, so that's a nisayon. We have many nisyonos in life. It's often the case that which is wrong, morally, halakhically wrong, is also very attractive. It can be attractive in different ways. Sometimes what's morally, halakhically wrong is attractive in a physical sense. I have urges for something, for a food or a behavior which is not kosher. Okay, that's built into life. And sometimes there may be something which is not, you know, physically attractive, but intellectually attractive or emotionally attractive. And just because something's attractive doesn't mean that's the right thing to do. As Ramchal develops extensively, beginning at Mesillas Shemarot's farm, based on Rav Sayyid Gaon, and Munus Mateus, that's the design principle of these universes. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates human beings, it creates all the Havav, as an opportunity, in a divine decision to be beneficial to us. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu, part of the design principles that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose in crafting the universe, that we enjoy the goodness that he wants to offer us that much more, profoundly more, when we, in some sense we have earned it. In some sense we've created it. We're masters of our own destiny. We're masters of that goodness that we're enjoying. And we're junior partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the goodness that he's offering us rather than merely being passive participants. And that's part of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create two contexts in which human beings exist. The second is Olam Haba, the Olam HaTanam, a place that's calibrated and optimized by the divine engineer to be a place of extraordinary, overwhelming pleasure and happiness. And Olam HaZeh, the life, the world in which we live presently, which certainly has opportunities for happiness as well, but calibrated to be optimized by the divine engineer, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Olam HaNisayim. To be a place chock full of challenges and opportunities, which is certainly the case. A lot more to say about this, but this is really a right at the moment that this context is a sidebar. It is a major, major theme in Mesillas Yesharim. If we get there later this summer, so this is and here the pasuk says it explicitly. You may see this, and it's very impressive. It looks very impressive, and it does look very impressive, and it's irrelevant. If someone convinces me that a cheeseburger is incredibly tasty, if someone convinces me that bacon is very nutritious, those may be both very true statements. I'm sure that bacon is nutritious. Okay, probably other presentations of ham, they're nutritious. They're probably very tasty. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Cheeseburgers are certainly very tasty, obviously. A lot of burger chains are doing very well. They are very tasty, absolutely. And wrong. They're tasty and something that I will still choose to forego because I could have told me otherwise. Now, here's a different type of nisayon. Here's an intellectual nisayon or an emotional nisayon rather than a physical drive. And here's also a question not just of right or and wrong in the moral sense. Here's a question of right and wrong in the logical sense. We reject this as being false. We do not believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you that. Or in the first type of Mishnah of Shem Rozar, we don't believe that the Avodah Zarah spoke to you because Avodah Zarahs are garbage. No one spoke to you. Maybe you imagined it, or maybe you're making it up in order to build a cult and win power for yourself. Okay. But regardless of whether you're misguided or intentionally trying to fool us, it doesn't really matter. We don't buy what you're selling. And if you claim to be a Navi, then we'll say, well, if you're claiming to be a Navi, we see you as a, we deem you a Navi Shaker. And to be a Navi Shaker is a crime under the halacha and punishable as such. That's what, here you open a chumash, Perigid Gimel, Binyan Perigid Gimel, Parshas Re'eh. So we can speak about the parsha of a true Navi in Parsha Shoftim, and that's where the Torah describes various profiles in Jewish leadership. In Parshas Re'eh, which I mentioned before, is a focus on various Avodah Zarah-related halachos. It speaks of the Navi who says, who does an Osu Mofes, and then says, come, let's worship Avodah Zarah. And the Torah says, we don't listen to him. And I had a, he did impressive stunts. Okay. Again, whether it's like the Connecticut King Arthur's Court, the Twain's book we talked about yesterday, where, you know, it's sleight of hand, it's impressive technique, and it's all a fake, or whether he is accessing some sort of supernatural power, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. He may have pulled off that mace. That's what Tom Hoffman said to him many years ago. He said he's willing to believe that Yeshu may have performed the miracles that he's described as having performed. So I don't know whether he did or didn't, but it doesn't matter. The Torah tells us that Navi Sheker may indeed do miracles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to do that as an Nisayon for us. So whether or not he performed the miracles is irrelevant. But then again, that's what the Chumash describes. Even if he performs miracles, it doesn't change our opinion. It doesn't change our opinion. Again, and this is sort of the flip side of the coin that we talked before. Nisim are not necessary in order to certify a Navi, and they're also insufficient to certify a Navi. And sometimes we're going to reject a Navi because his message on its face is not believable. Whether he speaks in the name of Avodah Zarah and claims that Avodah Zarah communicated anything to him, or that he speaks in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu and claims falsely that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to now worship Avodah Zarah. We see both of those as a Navi B'Shem Avodah Zarah, Achas Daso. Either way, he is a Navi Sheker and punishable as such if you have the valid process. It should be noted, and maybe we'll wrap up with this for now. We'll pick up next time with the two types of Navi B'Shem Hashem. Just to close by pointing out that it's not only when the Rambam discusses Hilchos Nevuah that he downplays the role of Nisim. Hilchos Nevuah, so to speak, both here in the Akadamah L'Pirush HaMishnah and in the parallel locations in the Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Yisod, the end of Hilchos Yisod, the Torah, say for Hamada, we discuss Nevuah. It's all that's at the very beginning of the Mishnah Torah. It's also at the very end of Mishnah Torah, the last two prakim, Mishnah Torah. Prakim Yud Alf in the days of Hilchos Melachim are dedicated to halachas of Mashiach. The Rambam talks about it. How do you identify Mashiach? That Shaila has come up, I think historians say, over 100 times in Jewish history. Like someone has presented himself as Mashiach. So far, all of those 100 plus occasions have turned out to be not Mashiach. Sooner or later, Mashiach will show up, but he has not shown up yet. But there have been many false claimants. There have been many false Mashiach Sheker, false messiahs. So the Rambam says this is a part of halacha. You have to know how would you identify someone who claims to be Mashiach? How do you know what's the litmus test to know whether he's Mashiach or not? So the Rambam describes a number of tasks that someone has to perform if indeed he is Mashiach. It's not about the Nisim. Once again, the nisim are lo malav lo morid. It has a lot to do with being mekabetz galios and rebuilt in the days hamikdash and restoring kavod shamayim and malchus shamayim. Let me take a look. It's a fascinating perek yud aleph of hilchos melachim at the end of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. It's not he's not focused on the nisim. Nisim, and historically speaking, yes. Rambam's pointed out this is right in the Chumash. And looking from the Chumash forward over the past couple of millennia of human history, we have seen that impressive stunts have been used many times to fool people. True Nevi'im have done Nisim, certainly, as I said before, and many charlatans have done Nisim as well. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can perform Nisim whenever he wants to, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire universe. He created mathematics and physics and matter and energy and chemistry and so forth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously can suspend nature at will, and occasionally he does decide to, and sometimes he'll suspend nature through one of his Nevi'im. But as I said before, that's not relevant to how you know truth. That's not relevant to how you know is this a Navi or not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may perform a nes to accomplish some goal, to save Klal Yisrael, sometimes to demonstrate things about the Ribono Shel Olam. But not to demonstrate that a particular person is a reliable person. That's orthogonal to Nisim. And there we wanted to know more about content. What is he saying? And the first thing we want to know is negatively, as we've been talking today, that another b'shem of Odazara, whether he's actually speaking the name of Odazara or claiming that Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to worship Odazara, those are by content, by the content of what the message is, rejected on its face. That's a Navi Sheker, it's a Navi b'shem of Odazara. Tomorrow, Mitzvah will go on to talk about what is a Navi b'shem Hashem. There, too, it's going to be two different types, and we're going to differentiate there between the two types. We'll get to that in Ritz Hashem, and that's where you're going to begin to get us to the heart of real Nevuah and begin to appreciate what the role of Nevuah is. That's Ritz Hashem. More to come of that tomorrow.